Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Gods, we look down upon this June season. It is summer. The treasure of the sun is upon us, and we take that time to stay inside and podcast. Welcome to American Godcast. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And we are here to talk about the penultimate episode of American Gods.
Oh, man.
We're getting right down to it. And I'll tell you what, I'm not sure how it's going to come together.
Ooh.
You know, because let's just wander into a recap about what's going on. Because we've got a lot of stuff. We've got two seasons of stuff happening here.
Oh, God.
It's going to be fun. It's like rereading the Bible. Everyone's favorite summer pastime.
Come on, man. It's better than that.
Yeah, great. True. So we have our main character, Shadow Moon. Mm-hmm. He was living his life, married, happily married. When suddenly,
I don't know if I would say happily.
He was married.
He was being cheated on.
Yes. Well, he didn't know that at the time. Yep. But come to find out, he was being his wife was cheating on him with Dane Cook, everyone's favorite stand-up comedian from May 2002. They died together in a sexually driven car accident, broke his heart, and all of a sudden Shadow got mixed up with a bunch of odd characters. A man named Mr. Wednesday, who we later find out is Odin, the All-Father. There's a leprechaun by the name of Mad Sweeney, who is hugely important in this episode.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other old gods. We have Mr. Nancy, who is a Nancy, the spider trickster god. Mm-hmm. Bilquis, the queen of Sheba, the god of sex, basically.
Yeah.
And they are all the old gods who transported themselves over to America and sort of new versions of themselves formed. Meanwhile, there's all these new gods. You've got gods based on technology, a guy named Mr. World. We had a media in the first season becomes new media in this season. And they are fighting a war, and we don't know why, we don't know what the deal is, but we know they are out to kill each other. Mm-hmm. This season, Wednesday's been sort of marshaling his troops, he's getting everything together. He planted a tree and then peed on it, which is a great way to start any vegetable garden. I know in my backyard, that tree has been growing pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. He's also been getting this weapon, this great spear that he had reformed, had these runes added to it. And it's all back together as of this episode. So we don't know exactly what he's doing, but we are going to find out very soon. Shadow Moon's wife, dead wife Laura, was risen from the grave by the Mad Sweeney's lucky coin, went into her body, and she was walking around trying to patch her up her relationship with Shadow to no avail. And as we learned a couple episodes ago, she's fallen in love with Mad Sweeney, but is incapable of acting on those feelings when all she needs to come back to life is blood infused with true love, mm-hmm. which I have my whole body is that. I've got liters and liters of that stuff. So I think that about sums it up pretty well. We are dealing with stuff in the town of Cairo. We have a Jin and his partner. They've sort of fallen in love, Salim.
Yeah.
They're hanging around with Cairo. They are on the side of the old gods.
I think that's where she's going to get her blood right there.
Could be. Could be. We have Mr. Ibis, who is a god of the dead, who just hangs out there. Bilquis, who is trying to find, she's in danger of losing her power because she's run out of worshippers. She's in town sort of making a case for herself. And I guess
she's preaching away.
She's preaching. So let's get into the episode. This episode focused a lot on Mad Sweeney. Gave us a ton of backstory about him.
Yeah. Well, I would like to start, it starts off, the title is Treasure of the Sun, and we had a really fun, looking down, kind of like the point of view of the sun looking down at Shadow Moon there, which I thought was a fun shot and a fun way to start.
And also the point of view of, you could say, gods.
Right.
And also birds.
Sure, sure.
What else? Airplanes.
Aliens.
Oh, now we're getting into this. Is also a conspiracy theorist podcast, we should say. Yeah. So we're going to drop in some real brain pan stuff that's going to really rock your world.
Brain pan? Is that
in the brain pan? Yeah, that's where you catch the treasure of the sun, right in your brain pan. Mm-hmm. So Shadow finds at the top of the episode, Shadow finds Mad Sweeney not doing so hot. He's coming off his big
passed
rendezvous.
Out under a bridge as
under
you do.
A bridge. I know, like a troll as they joke around about. It's funny that he ends up back in Cairo, and funny that Shadow's the one that finds him, since he just sort of, by the transitive property, had sex with Shadow's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Also, it was funny because the whole time I was like, they call him Mad Sweeney, but I wasn't sure what's so mad about him. And then this issue, they were like, hey, were you wondering why we call him Mad Sweeney? Guess what? Buckle up. That's the whole episode.
I just thought it was because he was mad into Sweeney Todd, the musical, but that was, I think I put that together.
Yeah.
When we find out he had a long spell where he was, had gone crazy. Mm-hmm. I thought it could also be like, you know how you call like a big guy tiny?
Right.
Maybe he's just so sane.
That they call him Mad Sweeney.
Yeah. Man, that guy's Mad Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a funny nickname. Like he'd be calling you like, man, Calm Pete. Let's hang out with Chill Pete.
Yeah. I got plenty of chill. I got chilled for days.
Yeah. Even that sounds angry. So so Sweeney, though, he warns Shadow about the coming troubles. You can see him sort of trying to be like, hey, you got to watch out because you're getting closer and closer to a bad situation.
And what's nice is Matt Sweeney's been the whole time, the only one who's kind of been like, yo, Shadow Moon, dude. You're getting taken advantage of. And what's nice is Mad Sweeney is just, he's been the same the whole time. Like, he's just been on message the whole show.
Yeah. And I really like the character of Mad Sweeney. That's why this episode was sort of bittersweet, as we'll talk about in a minute. But he's such a sympathetic dude. He's a dude who just can't figure his shit out. I mean, when you lose your lucky coin, he's unlucky. And it's a lot of his own doing.
Yeah,
he just can't face his emotions.
And kind of Wednesday talks about it. He was talking about like, you were throwing around gold. You were drunk all the time. He was like, I gave you purpose, man.
Yeah, exactly. Because Matt Sweeney hates Wednesday because he says he owes him a battle. Mm-hmm. And it never that bill comes due in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Sweeney warns Shadow, and then he sort of wanders off. Shadow's sort of a dick to Sweeney because he doesn't understand what he's been through. And it's funny, I feel like the back half of the season, we haven't really been in Shadow's head a lot.
Yeah.
He's sort of drinking the Kool-Aid on Wednesday's Old God Squad.
But also, we did get that kind of flashback episode with Shadow where we saw, that Wednesday's been watching him for a while. Where we saw his childhood. But it's also Shadow is like, he's like, hey, this guy seems cool, This guy's got stuff going on. I'm going to kind of roll with him just because Wednesday caught him at a great moment, He found out his wife died while sucking some other dude's dick,
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good time to walk by and be like, hey, man, your life kind of boring. I got an option.
As we know, that was all orchestrated, and Matt Sweeney admits later this episode that he was the one that killed Laura, basically.
That's jumping ahead, but yeah, that was we get Matt Sweeney kind of blows the whistle on Wednesday's whole fucking deal, man.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Let's hold off a little bit till we get there. So just to run through a couple things that happen, the world tree, the piss tree's grown.
It fixes the spear.
He fixes his spear with a little quick tree surgery. I've tried that. It doesn't work the same way if you're not a god.
Yeah, if you're not a god, you don't have those kind of things.
Yeah, you can't fix a pool cue by putting it next to, like, a cool tree branch.
Yeah.
And then he gives the spear to Shadow. Now, Pete, you're not a book reader. I'm a book reader. Not just in general, but this book specifically.
Yeah.
And so I know a little bit about what's happening. So a lot of stuff in this episode is really setting up sort of the next phase, which is exciting. Now, we only have one episode left. I do think we won't finish the book, obviously, by the end of the next episode. So I think that's a good sign that we'll get a third season of this show.
You even think
we
so?
Have, we have no idea how many people watch this show.
Yeah, but I don't know the ratings or anything. So plus, there's been a lot of like moving parts as far as the cast. So it would be, I would love for them to be able to do another season, but I don't know if it's in the cards, man.
But I feel like they're going to let them finish the story. I mean, this show is, when watching this episode, this show is really good. And yeah, I know we're a little bit
it's a great
behind.
Show.
It's a great show. It's really well done.
I mean,
it's
not enough Cadillacs for me, but still, it's a great episode.
Yeah, I know. The vehicles are super important to this show.
Yeah.
But the cast is so good. All the actors are great. Like,
yeah, it's really well cast.
So I do hope more people watch it, especially in the downtime that we're coming up on after this. I mean, this season, we're a little bit behind on recording these, but this season's already ended, and it works really well as a piece to watch back-to-back.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Laura is hanging out with Shiva in the diner, and they're having a fun convo about, like, hey, you need to get your shit together.
Yeah.
You need to be, like, be vengeful. Almost is sort of the lesson here.
Yeah, she shows her warrior face.
Yeah.
Sign of respect, man.
Yeah, exactly. I rarely show my warrior face.
Cool.
I thought you were going to ask what it looks like, and I'll never tell.
Okay.
But I like this. I like this scene. I just love the way we can just cut out and just see all these interesting side characters and gods, like, just chilling out. And speaking of that, we have Bilquis, who is now sort of preaching on behalf of Christianity, a very sexual Christianity.
Yeah, she's making church fun again.
Yeah, and it's about time. But I got to say, there's nothing these towns. So she's preaching in this Christian church to the townspeople, and she's like basically flirting, turning everyone on.
Yeah.
And that'd be quite a fun surprise on a Sunday to pop down to church and be like, whoa.
It's like, hey, man, you guys. You want to go to church and jizz your pants? Because that's what's happening right now.
Hey, if anybody out there is running a religion, I think Pete just came up with a great slogan. I'll put the money in the collection plates. If I know how church works, which I clearly don't.
Yeah.
Then we get into Mad Sweeney origin stuff, where we chart his sort of fall from grace.
And it's a sad tale.
Yeah. We see him in a couple scenes. He's got covered in ants, tasty ants, which he eats.
As you do.
And as you do. And we learn that he lost his mind after he was cursed.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this in sort of one chunk.
Well, first, before we get into it, I got to say, like, this has got to be a real fear for you. I mean, because you grew up in the woods of upstate New York.
Correct.
And, you know, I figure, like, you get into these kind of, like, woodsy building phases.
100%.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, are you worried that one day you're going to be out there, you know, building a fort, and then your wife's going to stroll up with your kids and be like, what are you doing out here? Like, come and live in the house. You're like, no, I'm one with the woods now.
Yeah, 100%. You know? And I'll be like, look at all these ants I got. Eat some of these ants.
Yeah.
I'm building a fort for us. I assume I'm going to live in a treehouse eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's just a countdown until that ever actually happens.
I mean, it's the best place. You're up above the ground. It's airy.
Yeah, but there's only one enter and exit point, so...
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's
how
you keep
it's no. You know,
that's called security. One way in, one way out.
Yeah, but you can quickly get ambushed there because you got nowhere to go.
Okay, well, when we're both living in rival tree forts, which is coming faster than you think, I look forward to our battles.
Hey, did you see that article today? We're only going to live to 2050, apparently.
That's fine. I'll know about 2042. It's tree fort time.
Smart.
And again,
set my reminder on my phone. 2042, yeah. Start building tree fort.
Let's say spring or late or early summer, because that's when the tree fort weather really comes up.
Yeah.
And like I said, Pete's getting into some conspiracy theory stuff. As promised, we are getting into your brain pants. We're dripping those ideas into your brain pants. Speaking of that, Sweeney lost his mind after he was cursed. He was doing battle with Christians. I love how they spin his whole story back on gods and religion sort of doing battle for the worship of their people. And Christianity just crushed these the old religions of Ireland, I guess, where Sweeney's from, or England. And he loses. He bails on his kingdom, and he and his wife and his daughter, well, he wasn't born yet. His wife was pregnant. Yeah. I assume they leave and move to America, where he loses his mind.
Yeah.
That's the way I read that scene.
Well, I was hoping we'd get into it a little bit more of why, in the middle of a war, he would just go leave everybody, you know?
I think that's what plagues him. Like, he's... feels guilt. He runs away from his problems, and his problem was he can't compete with Christianity. So he's like, "Well, I'm getting out of here." Yeah. And I love the way when he's with Ibis, with Mr. Ibis talking, and he's writing Sweeney's story, yeah. Which I was like, "Oh, Sweeney's definitely dying this episode." If Mr. Ibis, the god of death, is writing his story as sort of almost like an obituary,
yeah.
I like that foreshadowing was good.
There was a crazy
good.
Moment where it's like you think it's just him telling the tale, but then Bilquis was like, "Well, what about the story you told me?" I'm like, "Oh shit! All these old gods are like trying to figure out his deal and calling dibs on this guy. It's kind of intense."
I mean, when you're a god, it's like, "Oh, crazy! You did that? Oh, you're in charge of rain? Cool." Yeah. Yeah. It's great to really connect like that.
It's just weird that you don't know other gods' powers or stories, I guess.
Well, I don't know all your stories, and we've known each other for, like, so long.
That's a good point.
Like, so long.
Yeah.
Like, you tell me stories, I'm like, what? That's, like, years ago, you told me about this crazy story of you in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. That I was like, that's one of the best stories I've ever heard. And if you want to hear it, well, too bad. Listeners. Isn't it available? Isn't that story online somewhere, Pete?
I think so.
Great story from Pete's life. If you haven't heard it, check it out somewhere. Pete'll tell us on a future podcast where.
Well, you're talking about the Costa Rica story.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a different Hawaii story. Anyways. But
it's hard
yeah,
to keep
it was
your
great
island, your vacation adventure straight.
Yeah.
But anyway, back, we digress.
So I really like seeing Matt Sweeney kind of in his warrior face, you know. Fighting and using that spear like a champ.
Yeah, a lot of spears in this show, especially this episode. There are other weapons. Spear's an inefficient weapon.
Sure. Doesn't run out of bullets, bro.
Yeah, but when it, like, as opposed to a sword can cut through a spear pretty easily. Spear will reach.
Yeah, spear you got more, away. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I'm
it depends on what kind of fighting you're doing, man.
Exactly. But it's cool to see Sweeney as such a badass leprechaun. I love the sort of different perspectives on him getting with that woman who tells his future.
Yeah.
Once again, foreshadowing his death this episode. And then before we get to sort of the final moments, we get to see Wednesdays wants Sweeney to go kill Laura. He refuses to do that. I thought that was a really cool scene. We have Sweeney talking to Salim about sort of love, why he's there, giving us a little bit of hope that maybe Sweeney will get out of this and go back to Laura and maybe, like, actually be happy.
Wait, what? He can't be happy with Laura.
He could. They love each other.
Wait,
she
you're talking about
him.
Sweeney or...
Sweeney.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Sweeney and Laura can be together. I'm 100% behind that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, but you don't want Shadow to be with Laura.
No.
But it's clear in this episode that Laura loves Shadow, or she at least is
no,
coming back.
No, she does
back.
Not love Shadow.
She comes all the way back to Cairo.
Whatever, she's just got a beacon that she's following. That doesn't mean she loves him.
Isn't that what love is, Pete? Being a beacon?
I think there's more to love than just being a bright light.
Oh, wow, that's very profound.
Well,
you want to flash, like it'd be a flashing bright light.
No, you want to be each other's light. You don't want just one person sucking the life out of you. You want to be each other's light.
Okay. Like two fireflies.
Yeah,
fucking,
sure.
Fucking in the backyard.
Oh, my God. You
you know what I'm talking about? So I grew up in the country.
Yeah,
so
no shit.
That's my life.
But what I do like is I do really like Matt Sweeney interacting with the different people, the way he's talking shit out. Like, he's a straight talker. I love that about him, you know?
Yeah, like the scene where he's talking to Shadow later in the episode and directly warning him.
Yeah.
And Shadow
he's talking about like power and why do you know, like, you can't trust somebody. Yeah, they're treating you cool now, but once you're used up, then who are you to them, you know?
Yeah.
And then like he's also, yeah, I just think he like had some great interactions with people, I just was really impressed with him in this episode.
Yeah, he was definitely in the scene with Shadow at the end of the episode and the beginning, actually. Like, Shadow's a dick, and like my sympathies are with Matt Sweeney.
Yeah, Shadow was kind of a dick, man.
Yeah,
which is weird. He's not usually like this, I don't think.
But I think it may be that the show is trying to say he's been suckered by Mr. Wednesday and the rest of these gods. He's a little bit caught up in the game. He enjoys the power. He, like, when Wednesday tosses the spear to him, he's like, ooh, I'm a warrior. Fighting within this epic cosmic battle between these different sides. But it's a battle he just doesn't understand.
Also, Sweeney's like, dude, I was you earlier, and I'm getting fucked by this guy. Why can't you recognize that? And I also liked how Sweeney came at Wednesday, and he's talking about, you know, eating fairies' food, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, what does that all mean? I hope we get into that next episode.
So, yeah, let's talk about it. So, Wednesday's having a last supper. Mm-hmm. He's got all of his crew chilling, having dinner. Matt Sweeney not invited.
Yeah.
Cold. And Sweeney comes in. It's cold. Especially, you're having a dinner party. There's not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
What? And Sweeney's stressed out. He's got sirens outside, which means, like, they're going to come and take him. Banshees, that's what I meant. Banshees coming in, like, basically saying, this dude's dead.
Yeah. Circling like, sure, these carcasses. Sure.
I see banshees outside my house all the time.
For real?
We're chill, yeah.
Dude, that's not a good sign, bro.
You don't think so? I built him a little treehouse.
Oh, well, that's nice, but I still think you're in trouble.
Okay, well, we'll see. So Sweeney comes in, crashes the party, directly confronts Shadow. Mm-hmm. Sweeney tells Shadow what he did, that he killed Laura. And then Shadow turns his back.
Straight up like, yo, dude, that whole car accident, me.
Yeah. Clearly, I think, trying to provoke him.
Yeah.
Then Sweeney tries to stab him. Shadow turns the tables.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Before we get into that, Sweeney went and saw Shadow Moon, was like, listen, dude, you do whatever you want to do, but don't get in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's some real foreshadowing. So yeah. Shadow does... Foreshadowing, Shadow, does a sick spin move.
Yeah, great. This is really well shot.
You know, like, Matt Sweeney is picking up his spear, feeling that old fighting spirit. Shadow Moon does a sick spin move, stabs Matt Sweeney.
Yep.
Oh, it was sad to see, man. Why are you guys fighting each other, man? There's no need for that. There's a bunch of assholes coming. We're going to need all the people we can get.
But alas, Matt Sweeney is doing all this, like dying basically, to get back at Wednesday. And he does that because he's got the spear in his body. He pulls it out and he makes it disappear into his void place where he keeps all of his gold.
Yeah, and the gold coins appear. That was cool. Yeah,
it was cool. Very Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
He gives Wednesday and Shadow the double birds, and then he dies.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's a great way to go out.
If you're able to throw up both middle fingers on your way out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for a fact that's how you're going to die. And I'll tell you what, I'm a good friend. If you don't die that way for some reason, I'll move your finger so it's double.
Thanks, man.
Double birds.
I really appreciate that.
I assume I'm going to be there.
Yeah. I also want to be buried face down so the world can kiss my ass.
That's good. You should put that on a t-shirt, bumper sticker, or beer koozie, or perhaps all three, and you just made yourself a millionaire. Now, I want to talk quickly about, we don't really see much of the new gods in this episode.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
We see them a little bit where they're like, they hear about the sphere being, or the spear being finished, and it's stressing out Mr. World.
Oh yeah, we did, yeah, right.
We get a little bit of new media. We get a little bit of Technical Boy. They are... We get a nice... Oh, that was the previous episode where we got the flashback with Technical Boy and Thor. But we're only getting little bits and pieces of them. Now, if they're the big bad, don't you think we would be seeing more of them?
Well, I mean, they had a lot to do this episode. I guess they didn't have time to put them in there. I also really like the kind of, like, whistle ending we got. Kind of just like the whistling of... humming or singing a song at the end. I thought it was very powerful. I do really like how they kind of play with music in this show.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's light. It's not heavy. Whereas Cloak and Dagger, it's a big part of the show. They do a nice job of, like, sprinkling it in here at certain
Another time. Show we do, another TV show we watch and do a podcast on, our podcast called Cloak and Jabber, which just finished up that season. And, yeah, the music is very pointed and direct in that show. In this show, it's a little bit more of, like you're saying, subtle, more of a, it's more like scored and more of a bed. Mm-hmm. But I think either tactic works. This show's a little more cinematic. It's a little more like sort of moody as opposed to really putting the Cloak and Dagger is much more emotional of a show.
Yeah.
So that's basically the end of the episode. Pete, what do you think we're going to see in this finale coming?
Well, we got to see the big battle, right? We had a Last Supper and we didn't have a war. So I want this last episode to be all fighting all the time.
Interesting. I don't think you're going to get that.
Fuck you, man.
Okay. I think there will be some sort of confrontation, but these gods don't fight in the normal way that, like, superheroes fight. It's more of a heady...
It's a little annoying.
Well, that's what they're up to.
I also was really looking at Wednesday's reaction for all this because, like, this didn't seem like part of the plan for Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, like, he didn't want to get Mad Sweeney off the table, so I wonder if this really hurts his plans.
Well, he definitely didn't want his spear to be in a place that he can't
get. Yeah, he worked really hard. He went to the mall, did that whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he ran a day of errands, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, sorry, we hid it in a place. We buried your spear in the front yard.
Yeah.
Good luck finding it.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens next episode. I'm hoping for a lot of action.
Well, I hope your wish is fulfilled. I know you've been praying for it, praying to the gods of your gods, the gods of chaos, for that to come. And I hope it happens, but I don't think it will.
I also hope this isn't the last we see of the Mad Sweeney.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like it is.
Man.
He's dead.
Come on, dude.
He doesn't. No one worships him. He's out of luck.
Aw.
Don't you think?
I don't know, man. I think there's plenty of people at casinos hoping for luck right now.
Interesting. And do you think they pray to a specific leprechaun?
Maybe.
Okay. We should go roll some dice. I can't wait to hear what very specific prayer when you blow on your dice and say, "Hey, leprechaun number 9, help me out." So before we go, let's. Which god do you worship this episode? There's one very obvious option, but there are maybe some other backup options if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I don't know, man. I really loved Mad Sweeney in this episode. I think he's I really love the actor that they chose for this. I think he's doing an amazing job with this role. Yeah, I'm sad. I hope. We get
You're
to
sad,
see
Sweeney.
More of them. The Mad Sweeney gets my vote.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. This episode is such a good send-off for him. It's heartfelt. It's bittersweet. It does leave you with some questions about him. I'd love to see more about him and what his life was like before he came to America. But it's especially sad, I think, because the time they've put into the Laura Matt Sweeney relationship, and they never got a goodbye. They had such a bad departure from each other in previous episodes. So, or two ago, it's just such a bummer that they're sort of star-crossed lovers or like fucked up lovers, but you never get to see them pay that off at all, really.
Yeah.
Unless we see something in the next episode,
which I'm hoping for.
Yeah. All right, that's American Godcast. We will be back very soon with the final episode
of
this season, hoping there'll be more down the line. Besides this podcast, we do a ton of other podcasts. We have our main show, Comic Book Club, which we record every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York City. And you can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live to check that out. We also do a Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark. You can check that out wherever you get podcasts and at Riverdale Dark on Twitter. Pete, what else do we want to say?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have in our live show. Also, check out comicbookclublive.com.
Right on. For this podcast and many, many more. Well, we'll see you in about a week. And in the meantime, please... worship hard, open up your brain pan, and really stay out in the treasures of the sun.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.